You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. It is feels like Friday. Welcome to a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio. The danger of watching the news these days is that it's a daily installment of stupid on top of stupid on top of stupid on top of stupid. Honestly, it's amazing. And maybe the conclusion is, you know, we need to leave. We need to give the keys back to the Native American tribes that formed this land or that lived on this land, and then we all need to go back to where we came from, wherever the hell that is. But, I mean, watching the news, it's just amazing. It's just amazing. In my opinion, the absolute ignorance of people, the lack of critical thinking, the lack of understanding their own history. I mean, it is really like, did these people go to school? Like, are you kidding me? I mean, it's, and we watch it every day. So, I mean, it's, that's another good reason not to watch the news these days. It's just, this is what our education system has given us, and just dumber than shit people. So, good morning to you. So, on that note, good morning to you on a Thursday morning, just before the July 4th weekend in a year of our nation's history when a couple things collide, and that is a pandemic that has everybody sitting home looking at the TV, and horrible video of a black man being murdered by a police officer. and then the resulting fallout across the country. So it'll be a different 4th of July. And if you've seen the news today, it's let's tear down more American monuments. And it seems like it doesn't really matter what they are, right? As long as they're, you know, American monuments, you know, they need to go. So, you know, what will, at the end of the day, you know, what will be left standing of our history as we reconcile ourselves with our imperfect past? So, anyhow, so it's interesting. It's, you know, again, at some point, I mean, aren't the adults supposed to show up and say, hey, we need to have a conversation? Interestingly enough, like throughout all of this, you know, the Speaker of the House, which to me is hilarious, her father, as the mayor of Baltimore, you know, dedicated a statue of Lee and somebody else. Baltimore, in the state of Maryland. Maryland was a border state during the war. And, but her father dedicated a statue. And so, and his remarks talked about the, what we could learn from, you know, leaders of the Confederacy and blah, blah, blah. She's never spoken about it. She's never spoken about it. And she got up and she gets a pass. So, it's amazing. Another part of our amazing culture that we live in. Big news today. Actually, there's some breaking news. From the Associated Press, a fire and an explosion struck a building above Iran's underground Natanz nuclear enrichment facility early on Thursday, a site that U.S.-based analysts identified as a new centrifuge production plant. The Atomic Energy Organization of Iran sought to downplay the fire, calling it an incident that only affected an under-construction industrial shed. Spokesman Behrouz Kamalvandi said, sorry about that. Both the spokesman, Kamalvandi, and Iranian nuclear chief Ali Akbar Shehli rushed after the fire to Natanz, which had been targeted in sabotage operations in the past. Kamalvandi did not identify what damage was done to the building, though Natanz governor, I won't even try to pronounce his name, said a fire struck the site. So anyway, data collected by the U.S. National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration satellite suggested the fire broke out around 2 a.m. local time. And then there's talk about the centrifuge enrichment project that's going on there. The International Atomic Energy Association said in a statement it was aware of the report of the fire. We currently anticipate no impact on IAEA's safeguard verification activities, the Vienna-based agency said. So, anyway, so that's breaking this morning. Also breaking this morning is good economic news. And so the jobs report is out, and the president had his own little media event this morning, talking about jobs. So the American economy continues to recover after being hammered by the coronavirus, and so unemployment rate declined to 11.1% as the nation gained 4.8 million jobs. So that continues to be a good news story. And again, whenever these data reports come out, they're always forecasted. In this case, this job report beats the previous one, beats that which is forecasted. So job growth in, according to the Wall Street Journal, Sarah Chaney, job growth in June followed May's payroll gain of 2.7 million and showed people are getting back to work faster than anticipated. Still, the U.S. labor market is operating with about 15 million fewer jobs than in February, the month before the pandemic struck the economy. Good news. The unemployment rate continues to fall as the nation kind of goes back and forth in this coronavirus world that we live in, where things change on a weekly basis. Yesterday, the governor of California announced that the state would close restaurants in, I want to say, 13 counties: Los Angeles, Orange, San Diego, and the counties around the Bay Area in San Francisco. So most of the major urban areas of the state, unless you sit outside, unless you eat outdoors, then those restaurants can stay open. So again, and you know, it's amusing, you know, that people call, you know, for the president to implement whatever, a national face guard policy or something else. To me, this is proceeding as it should be, and that is in the hands of the state governors. Their counties are, every one of them is different, and so that's the approach. And I think the other thing I would tell you is that I think that the back and forth, you know, is symptomatic of, you know, uncharted waters. Even these spikes. Now, I remember, right, during the protests of, you know, whatever weeks ago, get people saying, well, we don't think this will necessarily make numbers go up. Like, wait a minute. All that's been written and said says it will. Oh, we don't think it will. Oddly enough, right? Oddly enough, like, numbers have gone up. And I do think it's reflective of, you know, people reading the news and saying, yeah, well, look, I'm young. It's not, you know, it'll be a cold for me. And you see the majority of the cases are now in younger people. And, but again, I think even younger people are now learning that, wow, it is serious. And it can impact me. I now know people that have had it, and my conversations with them, they have said, we need to take, you know, we need to take the precautions that people have said. We need to take that a little bit more seriously. And I think, I mean, I think that's normal. I mean, we might want everybody to listen the first time, but it tends not to be that way. And so I think that, I mean, if you will, in retrospect, you know, everybody stayed home and then people started to open. It was like, you know, yeah, this whole thing was bullshit. And there's still people that maintain that. But if you know people who've had it and you've spoken to them, you know that it's bullshit. It's not bullshit. I mean, it can kill. And so... Yeah, it's but I think it's the one step forward, maybe a step back, a step sideways, another step and a half forward, and then another step back. And so I think that's normal for uncharted waters. And also, as states try to choreograph the actions of a population, which has never been done in American history. So I think it's I think where we are is relatively predictable. And I think you see more and more people doing the right thing. But what's amazing to me is there are people that are in complete denial. I saw a concert, I think someplace in Tennessee, and people asshole to belly button, and some country music performer performing, and which to me is stupid. You know, this thing, I mean, it's a thing. And you're not exempt from the laws of human nature. What is normal, what is reasonable, and what is responsible? And I think if you do those things, I mean, I just flew from coast to coast. You know, I spoke in front of almost a couple thousand people, not all together at once, but over two different events. And it all worked. And, throughout, people, I think, did responsible things. So I think, the economic news is to be expected as people slowly but surely start to figure it out. That it isn't business as usual, that it is something that we should take seriously. And the other thing I wonder about is, at some point, is China ever going to be held responsible for this? I don't know if they ever will. it seems like for some reason the free world, the free nations of the world, will not act in concert to confront the Chinese, which I find curious now. Why won't they do that? So that's going on. On the show today, since it is Friday, in show days, today's Friday, we'll talk about food. And joining me today is going to be my daughter-in-law, Susie. And Susie is a foodie. And she and my son are both foodies. And my son, John, started working for Kim, the chef, as a dishwasher when he was 15 and a half. And let me tell you something. John can wash a dish. If you need somebody to clean your kitchen and wash dishes, you should hire my son, John. He will annihilate it. And he was a young guy, and he and I had a conversation before he went to work. And I said, "Hey, I want you to know that, you're not too good to do this kind of work." And they're grown-up men that support families that do this. And so I want you to go down. I want you to be good. I want you to be respectful and be the hardest working employee down there. And so he did. But that was his start in the food business, John's. And he worked for Kim for almost, off and on for 10 years. Ultimately became a waiter there. And Kim would have sold him his restaurant. And then he meets his wife, where they're in Grand Forks, North Dakota, where they both went to college. Susie from Western North Dakota, from a small town, and you'll hear her talk about that. But I think it's, and they moved around the country in the Marine Corps. I think they're living in the fifth place in, I don't know how many years, maybe 7 years, something like that. So anyway, you'll hear from Susie. And, you know, I don't think we've ever done this, but we've, so we talk about 4th of July is coming up. So it's a couple recipes that you'll hear from Susie. And then she talks about, though, making margaritas. And when I was back there last week, two things that I would tell you that you'll hear her talk about. One is, I told you about the preschool my son goes to, my grandson goes to, all outdoors. Yeah, nothing indoors. I mean, my question to my son, what happens when it rains? They put on raincoats. What? What? You mean they don't go inside to a classroom? Dad, there is no classroom. Whoa, I've got to see it. So I went and I checked it out. And I was like, this is how little kids should go to school when they're little. Outdoors and whatnot. So you hear Susie talk about how she found it and what they do and whatnot. And then, but she was talking about her skills as a bartender. So she gives a margarita recipe. And I think you'll find it interesting. So my daughter-in-law joins us. You know, earlier today, I woke up at about, I don't know, 3:45. And I couldn't go back to sleep. I don't know, maybe 4. I rolled around until 4:30 and I said, okay, I need to get up. So I got up and during the news, I was watching an interview with a guy and he started this thing called Barbecue Chicken University. It's right? Hilarious. And what it is, you know, he started doing, you know, physical fitness stuff in the street, in his neighborhood, for his son and some other kids who were going to were supposed to play in some tournament of some sort, some sports tournament. And his son might be, you know, 11, 12 years old. You know, maybe 13. I mean, he's not an old kid. And he's a young guy. And so I always talk about the kind of people that there are in this country. And that the people that we see on the news, you know, they're the stories that will make you click. But they're not indicative of the people that are in this country. When I flew across the country, and I mean, everywhere I went, people were helpful. It's almost like, you know, they understand that things aren't, you know, perfect in the country. And, you know, there's just a little bit of more friendly spirit in the air. Unlike what you would see on the news, right? Unlike what you would see on the news. So I want you to listen to this interview with this guy. So it's the guy who started Barbecue, I think it's Barbecue Chicken University. Something like that. Or it might just be Barbecue University or something. And it's just a program for that, you know, he does for kids that's, you know, in the street. And running and agility and, you know, just all, and she, you know, so there's videotape of it. So it's pretty cool. But I want you to listen to the things his son says. And, you know, it just, this to me is the country that I live in. It is my experience, whether I've lived in North Dakota, whether I lived in Sacramento, and that is, you know, there's great people in this country who truly care. And the news is not indicative of what this country is. What they put on for us to watch every night is not indicative of the good nature of the people of this country. Right? And I would even tell you this. I've had more and more discussions, you know, relative to race in this country in the last couple of months. And I think most people are anxious, you know, for us to get beyond the issue that Black Lives Matter, right, puts in front of us all the time. And I think in short order, most police departments around the country are gonna get beyond that. And statistically, you know, statistics would tell you that most police departments already have. But the real discussion has to lie, and I would tell you that the real problem in the country relative to race is in the corporate sector of this country. When you have organizations, you know, that aren't even close demographically to the nation, and they don't care, and the worst are the people that scream the loudest. Amazon, Google, Apple, you look at their racial numbers. I mean, do they not have, you know, an HR person that looks at that might walk into a meeting and say, hey, I've got to tell you, I mean, we're not diverse in our upper levels. And what did somebody say? Yeah, screw that. We don't care. The executive level is different. So to me, that's the frontier that needs to get conquered. And so anyway, but I've had more of those, and you know, people are anxious to see, you know, progress. And they also want to see progress in, look, there's truth to this whole idea that the Democrats have run these states with major cities, and we haven't made progress in terms of fighting poverty in spite of dumping trillions of dollars into these huge urban centers. Where's all that money gone? And so to me, that's what America, it's like, what are we going to do that's going to be different, that's going to change this? Because it's time that it changed. It's time that it changed. And that's the discussion that people want to have. How do we help? How do we make it better? And so, but I want you to hear, in that spirit, I want you to hear this, because these are the kind of people that make stuff better. All right, so this was from earlier today. Brian Kilmeade interviewing this guy who's in charge of Barbecue U.
Leader ever to help you get back into shape fast.
Oops. This is the last part of the commercial. Here it is. Here he is.
Group of dads are making sure kids in the neighborhood are staying hungry for sports, launching a community program called Barbecue Chicken University.
BBQ!
You!
BBQ!
You!
BBQ!
You!
Now, that's a bunch of kids after it had shown a little clip of them running and stuff, and then they all came together. Or, I mean, they were not together, but, and they did that little cheer.
Here to tell us about it is the founder of BBQU, Dave Anderson, and his son, Dorian Anderson, better known as DJ. All right, first give me an idea, if you can, Dave, of what gave you this idea.
I got the idea. Basically, I got a phone call from his coach saying that we were going to be going to a national tournament, and we were quarantined for about 4 months. He was playing video games all day long. So I wound up ordering a speed and agility pack from Amazon, and once it arrived, everything else kind of took off from there.
And how many weeks you've been doing it?
About 9 weeks now.
25 kids. DJ, how's your dad doing? How are the parents doing in this camp?
They're doing amazing. I like the way how they do Barbecue U University.
Right. And Barbecue U is from what, Dave?
Barbecue U comes from Barbecue Chicken Alert. I used to say that whenever I played semi-pro football to my opponents before I scored touchdowns on them.
DJ, what do you learn from your dad and the other parents?
I learned that not all cops are bad, and I learned that he was trying to show to the kids that when a cop comes towards you, don't think that they're going to arrest you just because that you're black. Some cops normally take it easy on you, and not all cops are bad.
And Dave, how do you get that message across? Do you have cops working with you at the camp?
Well, we actually had a situation. The situation he's referring to is we were outside working in the earlier stages of the Barbecue U. We had a group of about 7 or 8 kids, and we were in the neighborhood running around, and we had a a Karen caller situation. And the cops were they showed up on scene, and I just pretty much tried everything that I could do to defuse the situation.
Nice. And I'm watching now some of the police officers running sprints against your guys.
Yeah, so somebody sees this thing going on. They call the cops. The cops show up and say, hey, what's going on? And the guy explains, hey, here's what we're doing. And so then the cops hop in, and they start doing it. And actually, he gets asked about, hey, did the cops win any of the races?
I've not seen one of the cops win.
No, we don't let anybody win. You know, this is still my house. You know, I make the rules. I set the standard. So, you know, that cop showed up. He didn't know that he was barbecue chicken as soon as he hopped out the car.
Right. Hey, DJ, it's so tough on you guys. You have not unable to play, see your friends, play with your friends. You watch video games, but you'd be more than happy to do other stuff. You couldn't even go to school. What has it been like for you?
It hasn't been really good because, like, I've been playing video games a lot ever since quarantine happened and school been gone. So I've been normally focused on video games, and then that's when my dad decided, hey, now's the time that you need to start getting better and working on your standards and getting your stats better for this national game.
You realize how lucky you are to have a dad like this, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Dave, finally, you're taking precautions. I see you taking the temperature. You're keeping the kids apart. You had a brief pause. And now you're back to work on Monday, right?
Oh, yeah, we're back at it. You know, we owe it to these kids to make sure that we're making sure safety is first. So we're taking, you know, the necessary precautions to make sure that we're getting temperatures read. And coming up with different ideas on how we can work out socially distanced.
Well, if you want a franchise, I want to take a BBQ camp out on Long Island, all right? Let's see if we can work out a number I can deal with. Can we do that?
Let's do it. All for it.
You got it. Dave Anderson and DJ Anderson, best of luck, guys. And DJ, look like you're getting
thanks,
great shape.
Before we go, I want to shout out Justin Newman and his wife, Shanna Newman, for 15 years of marriage today. It's their anniversary.
Nice. And good job to the police officers in your neighborhood helping you out and supporting you. Good job, guys. Great message. More fun.
Now what jumps out? So I'm watching that, you know, and here's a kid. I mean, it's not like, you know, his dad looked at him and said, you know what to say, right? And he said, yeah, what they've taught me is not all policemen are bad. Now, that's not the narrative in the country today, right? And at the end of it, you know, when Brian Kilmeade, the last thing he says, he says, you know how lucky you are to have a father like this. And he says, yes, sir. And it's just like, yes, right? And there is hope. There is reason to hope. So again, to me, there's so many people around our country that do things like that every day. And all he did was he was doing something for his kid and other kids kind of looking out windows and standing there and could I do this too? It's what makes communities great. And yet we don't see too much of it. We see the craziness. I just want to see if there's anything. Barbecue Chicken University. Yeah. There's a story about it. Let's see. Churchill, right? Churchill, Maryland? Or Churchill, Pennsylvania? Barbecue Chicken University, Dad's Launch Summer Sports League in Churchill. And there's all these little kids out there. And there's cones and there's kids and there's dads and they're out there doing stuff. So if you do a search on that, BBQ Chicken University. How funny is that, right? I used to say that when I played semi-pro football, and it's probably sounded something like, you're about to become barbecue chicken, man. It's about to get delivered on your ass. But yeah, there's a story, a TV story done on it from outside of Pittsburgh. But anyway, just a good story that makes you smile on as we get ready to celebrate the independence of our nation, its own revolution. There's an interesting story also that you probably ought to read in the Wall Street Journal. We'll talk about that here in a minute about if you want to know what a revolution is, take a minute. And I don't know if he listened to All Marine Radio, but he echoes something that I say every year, and that is, you know, read the Declaration of Independence. Just read it. And, you know, it's an amazing document, and it's the foundational document of this country. And it is a revolution. So I'll read you a little bit of what Daniel Henninger writes in the Wall Street Journal. But as we get ready to celebrate the birth of our nation in a little bit of a different environment, but nonetheless, we will celebrate it. So good morning to you on this Thursday that feels like Friday. Whitney Houston sings the national anthem. Good morning. This is dedicated to everybody's morale out there. I had an experience last night that was awesome, and I was doing some work on the database that is my website, right? So there's almost 3,000 different pieces of programming in the database. And so Colleen is now an employee of All Marine Radio. And I have to go through the database and tell her, you know, delete this, delete this, delete this. Things that, you know, talking about the news that's 4 years old probably doesn't need to stay in my database, but the feature interviews do. So we're in the process of that. We're also in the process of some things are identified inappropriately, some things aren't tagged appropriately, and so fixing that. So anyhow, in the course of doing like mindless data work, taking the data that's on my website, right, and there's a way that you can edit it on the website. Copying all that data and dumping it into spreadsheets so you can more easily work with it. And that way I can go through and make the annotations that on things that need to be changed or deleted so she can do it, right? So I'm doing that mindless task last night. And it dawns on me that the MLB channel is going to be talking with baseball players about baseball that's going to get going. And baseball players were supposed to report to for spring training part two yesterday. So I thought, oh my God, right? I can like watch like sports that is like current and they're going to happen. They're going to be talking about, you know, players and baseball and stuff. So I turned it on and they were, and it was so exciting. I have to tell you this. It was so exciting for some. We've had nothing to divert our attention for 4 months. You know, spared from the news last night. So this is dedicated to everybody's morale. I hope you have a great holiday weekend. I hope you get out there and do fun stuff. I hope you, do all the things that we're supposed to do now, whether you like them or not, out of respect, for, you know, people that are elected, and other people that maybe don't have your point of view. If you're going to go out, otherwise you can stay in. But I mean, everybody needs to get out, start moving again. And if the cost is to put on a mask, then so be it. All right. It's part of being part of the collective. So anyway, but I know people's morale is at risk. So this is dedicated to your morale. I hope you get out there. I hope you do fun stuff. I hope you get a break from work a little bit. I hope you relax and stay away from the news because it's going to be a lot of stuff about statue toppling and shit like that. And remember, what makes this country great is the way that we'll tackle these issues. And I mean, even Seattle finally unscrewed themselves. So sometimes it takes a little longer, but I think ultimately Americans tend to get it right. And I think, again, I go back to my previous point. People want to make sure that the American dream is available for everybody. And I think leaders of this country have some hard questions to answer for themselves. And one is, you know, is the American dream being destroyed by outsourcing everything to China in the name of, you know, getting your soccer ball for $4.99 at Walmart or Target? I mean, know this, Walmart and Target, they are Chinese. Go look in there. You're not going to find a whole lot of cheap goods that aren't made in China. Now, to me, the solution to all of that is they need to, I mean, have it made in Vietnam, have it made in South Korea, have it made in the Philippines. But we've exported the American dream. And so to me, I think leaders in this country have got to look and say, look, maybe globalism, you know, might be the altruistic best thing when I'm in my university with my leather patches on my tweed jacket, when it's not real. But the real effect of globalism is that I export careers and in industries to other countries. And those careers and those industries used to have benefits with them, to include retirement benefits. And now those are gone. And so is the American dream less accessible? And because it's less accessible, we have more people toiling in service industries with little economic hope that they're going to get to a better place. And is that part of what fuels all of this? So I think America needs to have that discussion. And part of that discussion is, and you know, this inner city poverty thing. Why does it continue in spite of trillions of dollars being spent? Obviously, there needs to be a different, you know, a different a different path that gets laid out. Because the same path ain't getting it, not doing it. So with your morale and that dream and under the backdrop of the 4th of July, this is dedicated to your morale.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time for us to check the weather. Currently in Northern Virginia, in Quantico, it's mostly sunny and 86. So normally warm here in July now. Why doesn't it seem like July? Partly because it hasn't been warm in California, I can tell you that. Down the coast in North Carolina, it is partly sunny and only 80 degrees in North Carolina. 29 Palms, sunny and 85 right now. Camp Pendleton, clouds and 65. Camp Smith in Hawaii, it's sunrise, cloudy and 71 degrees. Okinawa cooled off a little bit, and they have 3 weather alerts. So we have to check that out. For some reason, whenever it says they have 3, whenever I click on it, there's always one more than it says they have. Yeah, it's a curious thing. So, there's a thunderstorm advisory in effect on Okinawa. There's a flood advisory in effect and a heavy rainfall advisory in effect. So, only 3. Yeah, don't you know the one time I talk about it, there's only 3. In Afghanistan, clear evening in 97 in south central Afghanistan in the Helmand province, and in western Iraq, it is sunny and 103. That is a look at your weather. Nancy sent me an email here. She is she from Pleasantville, Pennsylvania. Yeah, which is kind of in the, it's north of Pittsburgh up towards Erie. Really appreciate the perspective and the morale boost. Happy and blessed Independence Day. No, let me tell you, it's hard. I mean, you can tell people are, most people aren't used to doing prolonged stress like this, and that has, has uncertainty, and there's scary stuff, right? And then you layer on top of that, the riots that have gone on around the country, and that's gone on month after month after month after month after month, and so you can tell that people are, more stressed, and a lot of times they'll say stuff like, "Yeah, I really, I can tell." In me. So, the first thing I can tell you that I do is don't watch the news. When I get done doing this program, I turn the news off. And I don't watch it all day. It's cause it's it makes you angry. Again, the combination of social media, national media that doesn't care about the truth, and follow the bouncing ball on Bountygate. Now the New York Times is asserting that there was curious money transfers. So that can you link that to this story that you quote unquote broke? When the intelligence community of the United States can't agree on it. So somehow but the New York Times, they just throw it out there. And then it becomes a fact. And so, So you watch this stuff, with a media that isn't concerned about reporting the truth. All's I need, can I verify this with two sources? Then run it. Because it's gonna create something. Does it matter if it's true? Answer, no. And so, the combination of that and then the firestorm that is social media, and then you layer on top of that, young people who get their news from social media, and I would tell you, if watching them on TV is indicative of their critical thinking skills, what's the nation going to be in 50 years? I'm not exactly sure. It can absolutely be discouraging. So, yeah, shut the news off, first of all. And at some point, right, and I will tell you this, to me, the demonstrations that you'll see and people in the street now, what they're trying to do is they're trying to provoke the police, right? They're trying to provoke the police. And the reason they're trying to provoke the police is that this thing is run on video that the police are a part of. And so what you've seen around the country is, the police officers around the country, I believe they pulled back. And so the supply of video has dried up. And so you have people going out in the street, and what they want most is they need something captured on video to feed the beast, because the nation's turning its attention away from this, and we don't want that. So in my opinion, what you'll see over the weekend will be more attempts, right, to capture something on video where they can see where they can say, "See, we told you so," right? "See, we told you so." And then I think the most frustrating part of all of it, for me anyway, is when you see one of them interviewed. What do you want? You know, where does this go? And it's astounding the stupid shit that they say. And then when you get through the, okay, I got a police reform. Can we move beyond that, though? Can we move to what do we have to do, right, to end this cycle of black poverty? What do we have to do differently? And, I mean, they don't have, they're nothing. Cricket, cricket, cricket. So that to me is the most frustrating part, because that's where the conversation has to go. What do we do to make the country better? How do we do that? And again, crickets, 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 crickets. And so, anyway, with that as a backdrop, we celebrate Independence Day in the year 2020. Amazing stuff, right? And those things layered on top of each other simultaneously. So shut your TV off. If you're looking for news, download the Associated Press app. And I would tell you this, get your news from the Wall Street Journal. It's the best reporting in the country, bar none. The stories they've written about Bountygate and, you know, to me are stories worth reading that paint you a complete picture that a reporter should paint for you. All right. So we'll take a break. We'll check the news quickly. And then my daughter Susie's going to join us. And we're going to talk about food. You'll meet Susie. She'll tell you where she grew up. Susie grew up in a town of 1,200 people in western North Dakota. We'll talk about food and how she became a foodie. And then a couple recipes. How to make a killer margarita with fresh ingredients. I think you'll enjoy that, especially if you're a tequila fan. And then the other thing we talk about is my grandson's preschool, all outdoors. So, until next time, more of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good, but are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Some interesting things in the news today. President speaking at the White House right now, thanking law enforcement officials for protecting monuments. Headlines of Stars and Stripes as we check the news. The family of the F-16 pilot that was killed at Shaw Air Force Base in South Carolina was interviewed and talked about their hearts being shattered in a million pieces. So that's the lead story. Think about this. This is the number two story in Stars and Stripes right now. Marine Corps confirms first positive coronavirus case in Okinawa. A family member of a Marine who tested positive Wednesday after returning from the United States. That's a dependent... A dependent is the first positive case of coronavirus on Okinawa. That's the story today. Obviously a slow news day, right? Here's another one. Parachuting soldiers injured in training accident. Some landed in trees. Sounds like a high school newspaper. The one story, though, that is important. Is Marine Corps finds many inaccuracies with the probe into a 2018 fatal mid-air collision. So 2 years ago, during a refueling operation, an F-18 and a KC-130J tanker that was refueling, right, collided. The pilot of the F-18 Hornet died, and the entire crew on the tanker was killed. The weapons officer of the F-18 was the sole survivor. An accident in the investigation report was released last September. The report determined that toxic leadership and the F-18 pilot's inexperience conducting nighttime in-air refueling contributed to the collision. The investigation also found that the fighter pilot's use of the sleep aid Ambien contributed to the crash, and that Marine All-Weather Attack Squadron 242 suffered from inadequate oversight of training and operations in an unprofessional command climate. Four officers, the squadron commander, its executive officer, operations officer, and its aviation safety officers, were fired as a result. However, a review of the investigation's finding, directed by General Gary Thomas, the Assistant Commandant of the Marine Corps, has found many inaccuracies that led to differing and false narratives, according to a Wednesday report in military.com. Marine Corps officials in Japan did not immediately respond to questions about the review. Lieutenant General Robert Hedlund, the service's longest-serving aviator assigned to carry out the review, wrote that the first investigation was not impartial in its focus, thorough in its scope, or accurate in its findings. The review board dismissed the initial report's findings that trace amounts of Ambien found in Captain Jamar Resliard, the F-18 pilot who crashed into the tanker, played a role in the accident. Quote, there is no basis to conclude that Ambien use was casual or contributory to the 2018 mishap. The new 153-page investigation states, the new findings highlight challenges faced by the pilot, Resliard, on the night of the crash. His aircraft, the tanker, and another F-18A, and an F-18, were flying with their lights off during the refueling operation. But after tanking, the other fighter turned on its external lights, according to the review. These circumstances set the conditions for Profane 12, or Profane 1-2 as it would be known, to focus on the overtly lit Profane 1-1 aircraft instead of the dimly lit tanker, the report states. The experts on the review board determined that Restliard lost sight of the C-130 because he became singularly focused on Profane 1-1. Right, and then I will add that just had turned its lights on. So, when you're using goggles at night, I don't whether you're an aviator or on the ground, and you're doing this, you know, in the dark. So literally, I mean, you're in the dark. And what your night vision goggles do is they amplify, you know, starlight, moonlight. So, and that's how you see. And you can see and you can function. And, you know, you've seen pictures of the green reticles, and there's some beyond that. And so I'm not exactly familiar with the night vision devices that they were using that night. But I will tell you this. It doesn't matter what system you're using. In the midst of that, when all of a sudden a light goes on, and it could be, you know, something you're observing, you know, bad guys or something, they flip a light on. Or it could be somebody pulls out something and turns a light on. I mean, you can imagine, if this stuff amplifies moonlight, starlight, imagine what happens when somebody turns on an actual light near you. Yeah, it just poof. So they're in the so I can explain the report. So they're in the process of completing the refueling. Okay. Profane 1-1, and that is the more senior pilot. He's the flight commander of the two F-18s. And so if you can imagine, an F-18 man came on the show, and actually he did not. Joey Perazzo did, who's an F-18 pilot. He said, okay, here's how we do it. The tanker is flying straight and level, right? I said, okay. And then the two F-18s flying in formation, the tail one lower and to the left of the lead one, approach the tanker. Now, the first one tanks, and then, right, it uncouples from the aircraft after tanking, and it moves, you know, to the right and up. Right, so the second aircraft, Profane 1-1, then approaches. Right, it's tanking. Right, with the 130, and it's got the lead aircraft in front of it to its right. So that's how they're flying. So Profane, the second aircraft, Profane 1-2, completes tanking. Right, uncouples, and at about this time, for some reason, Profane 1-1 flips on its lights. And that's what the report's saying, right? Which, those lights going on, I don't want to say they will blind you, but they will certainly make it difficult for you to function, right? For you to function. All right. So, with that said, the report goes on. It must be noted this specific set of circumstances would have been incredibly difficult for any pilot, let alone a junior pilot, or a less proficient pilot to overcome. The review board noted warning signs regarding the squadron's readiness levels that senior leaders overlooked. Major General Thomas Wheatley, former head of the 1st Marine Air Wing, has since faced administrative action, so has Colonel Mark Palmer, former commanding officer of Marine Air Group 12, an aviation safety officer who was incorrectly blamed after the first investigation has been cleared, the website reported. The 1st Marine Air Wing's operational tempo, which is the Marine Air Wing that's in Iwakuni and Okinawa, their operational tempo overshadowed or caused a blind zone when it came to the all-weather attack squadron's readiness, the review board wrote. Accepting low readiness from the squadron had become common practice for many years, and in this case, First Maw made no effort to mitigate the squadron's risk in participating in the nighttime fueling operation. So let me get out my secret decoder ring and explain that to you. So we know if we're capable of doing different missions, right? And so, but we don't want to be the ones who put our hands up and say, you know what, because we've been doing real world stuff and we haven't got all our quals down, we're really not ready to do that. So what happens is you just say, okay, we're doing it. And you're faking it because you're not, you haven't really built to that level. And at some point the risk becomes, right? The risk becomes too much. And at some point somebody's supposed to put their hand up. Marine Air Group 12, which is the headquarters of the squadron, right? So the squadron 242 is an F-18 squadron. They belong to MAG 12. So it's like the relationship between squadron and group is a relationship between battalion and regiment. They're higher headquarters, right? So you had problems in the squadron and also inside the group. And the report says, Marine Aircraft Group 12 also failed to recognize the risks, the new investigation states, according to the website, to a greater degree and with greater ramifications. So, pretty interesting article about something that has been a head-scratcher for a lot of people for a while. Now, I'll include this article in this post, but if it's in military.com. The title of that article is General Colonel Rebuked After Marine Corps Finds Serious Flaws in the Fatal Crash Investigation. That story, and this is by Gina Harkins, who we love, right? In a rare move, the Marine Corps has acknowledged a host of problems with an investigation into a horrific, you don't see that word used often when reporting this, in a horrific mid-air collision off the coast of Japan that killed 6, resulting in new reprimands for 2 senior leaders who oversaw the squadrons involved. Yeah, it's a pretty long and detailed article. So I will include the link to that. So yeah, that's big stuff. Let me just give you a few headlines of the Wall Street Journal, because I love the Wall Street Journal, and I would tell you to buy it. I would tell you to buy it because you can shut off all those other news things that you look at, and if you want to read different stories, I'll tell you. I mean, the top story. Top headline is job growth picks up, but virus could slow the recovery. I don't know if you pay attention to this kind of stuff, but there's a story about a firm called Wirecard. And over the course, and it was Germany's great, great tech success. And in a world of Amazon dominated at the retail level online by Amazon and by companies like Google, Wirecard was the electronic means of linking you to them. So anyway, I want to say, well, probably it was the week before last, it was reported that $2 billion that Wirecard had earned did not exist in banks. They said owned the money or had custody of the money in the Philippines, with the banks issuing statements that says, yes, on their balance sheets, that is not true. We don't have that much money. What? Yeah. House of cards. Bullshit. $2 billion. Yeah, with a B. So anyway, there's a story about that. You have 2 interesting pieces under the opinion section. One is I'll read you a little bit. And which encourages you to read the Declaration of Independence, which I already do, so you don't have to pay attention to that. But I want you to hear a little bit of it. And the next one is The Trump Campaign Needs to Hit Reset by Karl Rove. So the Republicans are getting nervous because for whatever reason, the president cannot find his find a message that resonates with the American people, right? And it's been issue after issue after issue that, and again, specifically an issue that and a message that resonates with that third of the people that elect the president of the United States. Conservatives have nowhere else to go, right? Just as liberals have nowhere else to go other than Joe Biden. Okay. The headline the other day, I didn't realize it had been that long. It had been 89 days since Joe Biden stood in front of reporters and took questions. Presidential candidate. Let me tell you, if that doesn't scare the shit out of everybody, I don't know what will. You have a strategy that says, we're not going to, you know, he's going to appear and speak online and shit like that, but we're not going to expose him because all he does is fuck it up. And that's their nominee. Like, oh my God, are you kidding me? Anyway, so Karl Rove, the conservatives are hitting the panic button. Well, maybe not the panic button, but it's the button next to the panic button. Yeah, that's the button they're hitting. The op-ed that Dean Henninger writes is, you say you want a revolution. The benchmark for American revolt remains the Declaration of Independence signed on July 4th, 1776. And it starts with this. They can take down Teddy Roosevelt, and Princeton can cancel Woodrow Wilson. They could topple Ulysses Grant, deface the Lincoln Memorial, throw ropes around Andrew Jackson in Lafayette Square, knock down the author of the Star-Spangled Banner, put Thomas Jefferson in storage, and say America's founding began in 1619, but they can't make the 4th of July disappear. Rewriting history doesn't yet include eliminating daily turns of the calendar, so they will have to endure the hard fact that between July 3rd and July 5th falls the 4th of July. And that most Americans still believe this day is about the signing of the Declaration of Independence on July 4th in 1776. This is the most notable July 4th in a long time because the United States all of a sudden is in a revolutionary moment. I don't agree with that. Until now, the 4th of July was a holiday celebrated by everyone in the U.S. as an American tradition. The message being sent by protesters in the streets is, your traditions don't mean a thing to us, and we will toss them out as we see fit. Each year, nearly every town holds a 4th of July parade and celebrates with evening fireworks. This year, the coronavirus pandemic means few parades, while in New York City and elsewhere, massive nightly fireworks are intended to intimidate, not celebrate. The 4th of July is or was a day of family that families joined in quiet expression of patriotism with flying American flags. This year, families are divided, the air filled with shouted bitterness, and somewhere this weekend, an American flag will be burned. So he goes on. Let me get to the conclusion. This weekend's 4th of July is the 244th anniversary of America's first revolution. It remains the benchmark which any successor idea must be measured. And he encourages everybody to read the Declaration of Independence. So, anyway, again, the reason why you read the Wall Street Journal, or at least the reason why I do anyway, peace of mind, peace of mind. From Just the News, the Wall Street Journal is my new favorite news website, right? U.S. ad, they're top of the fold headline. U.S. ads record 4.8 million jobs in June, according to the Department of Labor. The from USNI News. Now, know this, there's not going to be too much news coming out for the next 3 days because all the reporters go on vacation. Yep. So, not a whole lot. Maybe the vacation's already started. Marine Corps Times, top story in Marine Corps Times today. Mother of Marine killed in Afghanistan demands answer to miss amid Russian bounty allegations. So here's the game. These things happen and people start calling the parents or contacting the parents and of Marines that have been killed. Shove a microphone in their face and say, how does that make you feel? And then run a story on it so they can do that. I don't really care for that. To me, it's trafficking in somebody's grief. And it's kind of a disgusting business. I will tell you another story that's in Marine Corps Times that is interesting, written by a guy who has been on the program, a guy named Jeff Zazulowitz. Former U.S. Navy sailor and two former Marines who were all stationed in San Diego have pled guilty to their role in a $65 million TRICARE fraud, federal authorities announced this week. Kyle Adams, the sailor, Daniel Castro, and Jeremy Soto all pled guilty on June 24th to their role in the cross-country scam, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office in Southern California. In the Southern District of California. The plot involved Adams, Castro, and Syto, recruiting TRICARE patients on behalf of the alleged ringleader of the plot to receive extraordinary, expensive, and largely unnecessary prescription compound drugs, according to the U.S. Attorney General. The three took part in the scam at varying times from October of 2014 till July 2015, during which all were on active duty, according to authorities. Adams, Castro, and Syto all admitted to working as recruiters for a Tennessee couple, Jimmy and Ashley Collins, who have also been charged. At the Collins' direction, the defendants recruited TRICARE beneficiaries by promise to pay them to evaluate the medications as part of an ongoing medical study, when in reality, no study was taking place. The beneficiaries were paid several hundred dollars to take part in the bogus evaluations, according to the prosecutors. Once Adams, Castro, or Syto recruited a so-called straw beneficiary, the patient's information was sent to Choice Maryland, a Tennessee clinic co-owned and operated by the Collinses. Prosecutors say several medical professionals employed by the Collinses then wrote prescriptions for the straw beneficiaries despite never reviewing or examining patients in person. The bogus prescriptions were sent to the medicine shop, a Utah pharmacy, which filled them and received massive reimbursements from TRICARE. Between December of 2014 and May of 2015, TRICARE billed roughly, this is amazing, $65.6 million for those subscriptions, prosecutors say. Each one getting part of the proceeds. Adams, the sailor who pled guilty last week, was in the Navy from 2012 to 2017. He took part in the scheme from October of 2014 to July of 2015, bringing in straw beneficiaries to TRICARE and bilking TRICARE out of $11 million and netting himself more than $1 million, according to court records. Syto made at least $264,000 for his recruiting efforts. Amazing. the other guy, Castro, for the people he recruited, TRICARE paid out $11.9 million. Castro was paid more than $1 million for his efforts. Amazing. Absolutely, positively amazing. I mean, these stories, it's like the world has lost its mind. Seriously. I don't know what to say. Support and defend the Constitution. Now I'm, you know, defrauding the government of millions of dollars so that I can enrich myself. The mayor of Seattle was on TV talking about dropping all charges against anybody charged with anything in the CHOP zone. Right. Top five stories in early bird, and then we'll talk a little food here with my daughter-in-law, Susie. Number one, Afghan contractor handed out Russian cash to kill Americans, according to officials. Now, again, this is out of the New York Times. Okay. This is out of the New York Times. Now, the thing to me that is so disturbing about this is when you have this kind of discussion going on around the country, and you have American intelligence organizations saying, we don't agree that this even happened. It's the top story in the early bird today. Number two, big pay raise, limits on troop moves, highlight defense budget measures. Number three, defying veto threat, House panel pushes to rename bases honoring Confederate leaders. And they know the president's going to veto that. So, I mean, they're just spoiling for that's politics, right? Number four, one military suspect deceased, one civilian in custody in the case of a Fort Hood soldier who disappeared. And her name is Vanessa Guillen. Okay, now it's interesting the way people write headlines these days, right? So, this soldier went missing, right? And so, one military suspect deceased. He killed himself. A soldier allegedly took his own life Tuesday in Killeen, Texas, after law enforcement attempted to make contact with him in the case of missing Fort Hood soldier PFC Vanessa Guillen. Another suspect, a civilian woman whom authorities said was the estranged wife of a former Fort Hood soldier, is currently in custody in a Bell County jail waiting charges. She was arrested by Texas Rangers in connection with the disappearance. Interesting headline, though. Number five, U.S. Navy's first four littoral combat ships will leave the fleet in 9 months. The Navy's first four littoral combat ships will be headed to mothballs next month, according to a memo from the Chief of Naval Operations. Wait a minute. I just thought we started making these things. No? I'm confused, man. The littoral combat ships Freedom, Independence, Fort Worth, and Coronado will all be inactivated. I thought it was deactivated. On March 31st, 2021. The Coronado was commissioned just 6 years ago. The Navy decided to cut the ships to save money on modernization efforts as it faces a mountain of shipbuilding costs and upgrade costs. The ships were supposed to be used as test vessels for the continuing standing up of the littoral combat ship class. But LCS 1 through 4 have just about reached the end of their usefulness as test vessels and are no longer worth a deeper financial investment, according to a February briefing by Rear Admiral Randy Kreitz, the Deputy Assistant Secretary of the Navy for Budget. Wow. 6 years out of a ship that you spent millions and millions of dollars on. All right. We're going to take a break. It is Friday. So when we come back, you're going to meet my daughter-in-law, Susie the foodie. And so interesting, fun conversation with her talking about food. And she is one of the chefs. Yeah, Kim's favorite foodie. So don't touch that dial. More Ballmarine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.